We're doing the Sfat Tamim. The Chafetz Chaim's work on the importance of telling the truth. And the Chafetz Chaim had said that this is the only mitzvah where the Torah says tirchak, maintain a distance, midvar sheker, tirchak. And the Torah expects us to maintain a distance even from something that's grara de sheker, even something that's just an adjunct to a lie. And we saw the examples in the Talmud and Tractate Shavuos. We know one of the pillars that the world stands on is truth. Ulevat kolelu mi sheyesh biyado midah ra'ah zo hu cherpat adam uvzuyam le'enei hakol. No, we're not yet up to that. We'll get there in a minute. Aside from that, whoever has this bad trait is looked down upon. People don't respect someone who's a liar. Because ordinarily when a person lies, it's only a matter of time before his lies are uncovered. And then a person acquires the reputation, that bad reputation, that he is a liar, and that what he says cannot be relied upon. And the exact opposite corresponding to that, when someone tells the truth, then over time they acquire a good name for themselves. And then, even if a person has to sometimes change things, say things a little bit differently in order to maintain the peace, so then, even in such circumstances, what he says will be accepted. And sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes a person is in a corner, in a bind. I had it just today that someone asked me, did you hear that I'm getting divorced? I knew he didn't want me to have heard. What was I supposed to say? Right? So you get out of it. You say, look, I mishanin mivnei shalom. There are instances where if you're going to put down the truth, so then, oh, everyone knows I'm getting divorced. That's it. It's a done deal. So now a person's already embarrassed to get back with his wife because everyone's talking about it. So in such an instance, it's better to say, oh, no, you're getting divorced. No, I'm shocked. You're such a great couple. Why would you two get divorced? If you come and tell the guy, sure, I heard about you. Everyone's talking about it. Of course you're getting divorced from your wife. So then he feels like, sure, I should get divorced from her. Everyone's talking that way. Sometimes for the sake of peace, as we discussed in the past, there will be instances where we have to say things a little differently. But that's provided that in other instances we're very careful to tell the truth. And even to one's children, one is responsible to educate them that they should be careful not to lie. Now, here I'm going to add a little footnote, Netanel Frankenthal's footnote, but I think it's an obvious footnote. You have to know there's a difference in age. And my wife and I were just talking about this last night, that two of our children are at an age where they believe their lies. They lie with a straight face, and they're at that stage in development where they, in their minds, if they say the lie, then it's as though that became the reality. They don't know how to discern between the reality and what they portray as the reality. That's a stage every child goes through. My wife and I were discussing, because something got lost in the house over Shabbos, and we asked the kids if anyone saw it. So two kids said they saw it. So one of them is at an age where they lie, and they look us straight in the eye and they lie to us. And the other one already outgrew that age. So we were discussing how we remember each child going through that stage, where they're at a stage where the lie seems real to them. You'll see, you'll have a 2 or 3 year old come out of the kitchen with a sweet behind his back and look at you and say, I didn't take anything. Our 3 year old has his face covered with chocolate. He stuck his hands in the chocolate cake and his face is covered with chocolate, and he looks at us and says, I didn't take from the chocolate cake. Look at him and say, really? What are you going to say? But then you're a little bit surprised when your 5 year old says, I didn't either. And she already knows to clean her mouth. But I tell her, I just want to look in your mouth and see into your stomach. Let me just look and I'll see if you took or not. And suddenly she goes, She's holding her mouth shut. I didn't take, well, no, you can't look. Okay, right? There's an age where kids, lying is part of self-preservation, and lying is also a part, psychologically, a part of their reality. they really believe if they say it this way, then it's okay. So that's not what the Chafetz Chaim's talking about. There's no point in arguing with them at that stage. You're not going to win the fight. That's where they're holding. Let them outgrow it. You educate them slowly, lovingly, and they outgrow it. So, yes, we are obligated to educate our children, even when they're young, that they have to distance themselves from lies, but not so young. Yeah, that's my footnote. He doesn't say it, I'm saying it. Kmo she'nemar, the verse says, Chanoch lanar al pi darko, guide each child on his path. Ukvar hazhiru chazal, our sages already warned, Dilo leima inesh leyanuka, a person shouldn't tell a child, La'asot lo o liknot lo shum davar, ve'libo lochen yachshov. A person shouldn't tell his child, I'm going to buy you something, or I'm going to do something for you. Sometimes you promise a kid, you know, you do this and I'll take you for a ride. You do this and I'll give you this and this reward. If you don't plan on filling in your promise, if you don't plan on fulfilling your promise, so then don't do that, the Talmud says. You should not make promises to kids when you know in advance you're not going to keep those promises. Kedei shelo yilmedu leshakir. They should not learn to lie. Ela im yivtech lehem yikayem. If you made a promise to a kid, keep it. Umimenu yirush makbid al dvar emet. And then children will see that you're careful to tell the truth. They will learn that they should also be careful to tell the truth. V'chein yasu, and they'll behave in accordance. V'yamod el ha-mishmar lehem tamid shlo yimatzeh b'fim leshon sheker v'tarmit. And he should watch them so that they should be careful, that they shouldn't either lie. V'yagdil b'enem avon ha-sheker. And he has to impress upon them that to lie is a weighty sin. Be'ofen she'chidu banim v'yizaru mo'ad. They should also respect it and be careful. Ad she'yaseh lehem teva shelo l'daber sheker. Till it becomes their second nature not to lie. So that's when it comes to educating children, it sounds easier than it is. Because children go through a stage where they lie, as we discussed. Children also go through a stage where they steal. That's also a normal part of child development. There's an age where children will take sweets at the checkout counter. You got to keep an eye on it. You got to tell them they shouldn't do it. And you don't have to go through the roof and go crazy because they did it. Because you should know, it's part of their development. There's an age when a child reaches first grade and second grade, it's normal that they will try to get away with taking things that aren't theirs. There's nothing wrong with it. We as parents have to educate them. We don't have to get all upset at them. We have to educate them. We have to talk to them and tell them, you know, this isn't right. You can't do that. This is not permissible. And then what happens when your child is 10 years old and you suddenly discover that they've been taking money out of your wallet and they've been buying things, sweets. Let's keep it innocent. So then you have to think on an educational level, how do you address this? So the first thought is, I'll catch him at the store. I'll show him. He'll be standing at the checkout counter and suddenly I'll just walk out and say, huh, what are you doing here? And that's a mistake. You should not embarrass a child unnecessarily. The fact that theoretically he did it to himself, that's not the way to educate a child. There's another reason that's a mistake, and that is because when you want to educate a child, the most basic thing you have to give a child is a positive self-image. A child has to feel like he has what to live up to. I told you guys the story. I was once walking by years ago. There used to be a jack for the internet that was available for guys, and I was walking by and I could hear guys were watching a movie that they'd be embarrassed if I walked in on it. I ran away. I shouldn't see who was watching it. They shouldn't see that I saw them. Because the second you've destroyed a person's image, the second a person feels like you don't value them, they don't have what to live up to. So that's the second reason it's a mistake to catch the kid as he's buying things. Thirdly, you want to help him grow out of it. You're not looking to prove to him he's wrong. You're looking to help him outgrow it. So then the direction to take is to take him for a walk where other people aren't present. He won't be embarrassed by other people. And then you start talking to him and you begin by a story about how when you were a child you did things that you had to correct. And it's part of growth. We all make mistakes and then we have to learn how to outgrow those mistakes. And we don't have to be so embarrassed that we made them. We just have to undo them. We have to decide we're going to change. And that's something we can all do. I always tell my kids the story about the spitball. Told you guys the story? I was in sixth grade. We were having spitball fights. You guys know what spitballs are? You roll up a ball of paper. You put it in a... We used to empty out pens. I don't have a pen here. A pen down there. We take out the big pens, right? Yeah. And then shoot these balls of paper across the room. You know what? You don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, you do know. Okay. So I was in sixth grade. You use straws, but if you use a straw in class, it's obvious what you're doing. But if you have a pen in your mouth, that's a little bit less conspicuous. I don't have to give away all our secrets, but at any rate. So the sixth grade Rebbe said, the next guy who shoots a spitball will write 1,000 times, I will not shoot spitballs in class. And who do you think shot the next spitball or was caught shooting the next spitball? Yours truly. So there I am with an assignment to write 1,000 times. I will not shoot spitballs in class. So this teacher in the beginning of the year told us, if you ever get an assignment as a punishment and you want to discuss it with me, you could do it after class. Don't do it during class. But I'm willing to discuss it after class. So I remembered that. I came after class and I said, look, I apologize and I shouldn't have done it. And he said, fine, you're a first-time offender. We'll let it go. No assignment. So I was taken aback. And then as I was leaving, I turned around and I apologized the second time. So he said to me, look, you did something wrong. You learned from it. That's why you're here in school. If you knew everything, you wouldn't need to be here. So you learned something today. So that's good. That's why you're here. You don't have to apologize so much. It's okay. Move on. And I always remembered that line. If you learn from it, that's what you came for. If you'd know everything, you wouldn't have to be here. So that's a story I always tell my kids. Like, if it's introductory to such a conversation, I tell them about the time I got caught. The time that I was in trouble. And then you speak to the kid and you say, you know, your mother and I noticed that it seems to us... that you're taking money that's you shouldn't really be taking. And then you discuss with him and you say, look, how do we undo this? And if you've maintained the kid's honor all along, then you should have a good conversation where the kid technically would be brought to tears just by the conversation. You don't have to yell at them. The mere fact that suddenly he realizes, hey, I did something wrong and I shouldn't have been doing it. And then you tell him, right, you did something wrong and you're going to stop doing it. And now you're going to change your habit. And then you have to come with a solution also. What did you want? You wanted sweets? So then let's think about which sweets you want and let's buy them for you 2 or 3 times a week. Meaning he shouldn't only be the loser out of this. You got to come and understand what's going on. Are other children in his class coming to school every day with 20 shekels? And he's the one who's coming with just bus fare? So you have to resolve the problem also. You have to show him you're coming towards him. But that's why what the Chafetz Chaim is saying here, to educate kids to be truthful requires thought. It's not just about preaching, you gotta be honest. It's about thinking, understanding the child, understanding his development, and then working with him so that he will be honest. And again, one of the basic points is to treat him as an honest individual. Even when you're not sure if he is, you treat him with respect and dignity, you raise your expectations of him, and then you could also talk to him and say, look, I don't think what you did here is... so honest or so correct or so fair. You can't do that. You guys are going to be walking out of shul, for example, and your kids start playing with the door and they're ruining the door or they hang on to the door. They start swinging on the door back and forth. So at home, it's going to destroy your door. In shul, it's a metal door. Theoretically, it'll take some time to get destroyed. But if you tell them, hey, wait a second, this is the shul's door. How could we do that? It's not our door. How could we ruin someone else's door? You didn't tell them you have to be honest, don't do this. You told them right away, this doesn't match our values. We can't do that. You've given that message. So when the Chafetz Chaim says we have to teach our children to be honest, he's talking about a way of life. You have to do it educationally. He's not talking about preaching all day. Gotta be honest, gotta be honest. Guys, check yourself. Are you completely honest? He's talking about showing them in many facets of life, showing them to be honest people.